obviously when COVID happened, the wholesale side went to zero. You know, grocery stores, of course, still needed products. They're essential businesses. But I mean, the demand just from the consumer side was astronomical, right? We could have never predicted that, you know, something like that would have happened. I do think that the expectations of customers are going to change. I do think online commerce is basically the new commerce. I don't think that people will make much of a distinction. But what we're starting to see, and what really we've seen over the last 18 months, this isn't just a COVID thing, is we're seeing more and more industrial scale farms say, okay, you know what? The markets were tough last year, or I don't want to keep growing this, you know, one or two crops anymore. Let's diversify a bit. And what they're doing is they're carving off 25 acres or 50 acres or what have you. And they're growing peppers, or they're growing, you know, cucumbers, they're growing tomatoes, products that they'll actually market locally.
It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
I think a frontier between the farmers and retailers, restaurants and consumers is a new way to go to market, where people can connect directly to the farms that are producing foods from all over the country. Well, a company that's really on that frontier and has innovated and having a lot of success with creating an online presence to make these connections take place is a company called Local Line. And I'm happy to welcome Cole Jones, who's a founder. Cole, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Yeah, really excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan.
So first, Cole, we should establish where you are. You are, you're in Canada, and you are what, between Detroit and Toronto?
Yeah, pretty well. We're a city called Waterloo. It's about an hour west of Toronto.
And Cole, I understand that area has really been a center of entrepreneurs developing new technologies and so forth, and just not that far off of the kind of things we have in Silicon Valley. Could you describe that spirit that of entrepreneurs and tech development in that part of the world?
Sure. Yeah, no, of course. It's I mean, it's something that everybody who's from Waterloo is real proud of, and something that we are always sure to over communicate to our friends in the South, especially when we're talking to folks in the San Francisco, Silicon Valley area.
How did you decide to get into food and agriculture?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of two things. So I originally grew up in the city. Waterloo has a very strong Mennonite farming community. And it happens to just be some very, very good, rich farmland. There's a lot of production that happens sort of in the Guelph, Waterloo, London areas of the province. And so just being exposed to that for the first time, because you don't get a lot of farming in the city, was super appealing. And then the second part of it was, this actually sort of spun out of research. So like, while I was doing my undergrad, we were doing some research on family farms. And to nobody's surprise, it's really hard to have a successful small family farm operation, you know, trying to find profitable channels to sell into the market and run a good business. And so, yeah, we sort of thought that was super interesting. We thought that, somebody should build a platform for family farmers to help them get to market better, faster, cheaper. So that was sort of the, original idea, and we started there and ran with it.
Well, that's a good spot for us to explain the company online. So what is it that you actually have to offer?
Yeah, Local Line's an e-commerce application for three different types of what we call local food suppliers. So it works for farmers, it works for food hubs, and then it works for farmers markets. And so what we do is we help those folks list their products online and sell their products online, being sort of number one. The second thing that we help them a lot with is their fulfillment. So getting the order is step number one. But after you accept your order from your customer, whoever it is, doesn't matter if it's consumers or restaurants or retailers, there's this whole process of fulfillment that has to happen. So you have to pick that product, you pack it, load it, ship it, invoice it, and get paid on that order ultimately. So it's a six-step process. So our platform helps farmers with basically every step of their order fulfillment cycle.
So a farmer, for example, would want to create like an online store. So do you come in and help them set up a website that is their online store?
That's correct. Yeah, we have a website builder. So if the farm doesn't have a website or wants a new website, they can actually build one for free and launch it for free using our system. And then we have the e-commerce software, which is where they add their products and their prices and, you know, photos of the products. They add their delivery or pickup information, and they launch that publicly to their customers, and then their customers can use that online store to make purchases from them.
How many farmers are participating now?
We have over 7,000 farmers on the platform now in every Canadian province and almost every state, 49 American states.
That's pretty incredible. So you must be one of the larger that's doing this sort of thing, I would think.
I think so. We don't compare numbers every week. Sometimes you don't know, but no, I mean, we certainly, our business was one of those rare businesses that benefited through the sort of COVID-19 pandemic. We did grow a lot because of that. And generally, when we look out at the market, we do believe that we probably experienced the bulk of that uptick versus others in our space. So yeah, we've been quite happy.
So to get to that point, you had a team that designed this and then wrote the software. That which is always a mystery to me. I mean, every once in a while, I try to figure out exactly how that's done. But you have to learn how to code and everything, and it sounds horribly complex. I could never do it.
Yeah.
But somehow, magically, you create this software.
Well, yeah, magically, my team creates it. I'm Roger Moore in the same boat as you. I'm not a technical person by background, so we're really lucky to. Employ a few super smart engineers that have helped us build this thing. And I mean, that's the thing though, like we were, you know, part of the good timing, I guess, for our business specifically was that we were prepared in some odd ways for this. I mean, we had been building this platform for 3 years prior to 3.5 years prior to, COVID even really happening. So, you know, we already had hundreds of customers. We already had customers in different provinces and different states. We were sort of established enough that when the influx came, it absolutely came with its challenges for us. But, you know, by and large, we were able to support, that big number of farms that needed help.
So I'm looking out in my backyard, if I was going to turn it into a miniature farm and I could produce whatever, kumquats, and I could contact you and I could say, okay, I am got this product or some products I'm able to grow. Here's what I want to grow. And you would then help me develop a website that would be Rogers Farm, something like that. And I would have a website address that people could go to that and they would see all my offerings. So I could say, you know, every third Tuesday, I have kumquats available, something like that. And you would help create that kind of structure. So whatever I might have to sell, I could sell from my personalized website. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, we've got over 155,000 unique products for sale in the Localine platform right now. And it ranges very significantly, all different kinds of food products and there's even, you know, we get the odd jeweler, candle maker, we had yoga mats, but by and large, yeah, it's all different kinds of meats and different kinds of produce, dairy products, cheeses, beverages, baked goods, all of the above.
So how do you get compensated for that? So if you're helping them build that, how do you get paid? Because you got to pay people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, that's definitely the important part. We do a monthly fee, so it's just a monthly subscription to use the system, and it's just a flat monthly subscription. It depends a little bit on the features that you need to use, because we offer several features that might be more relevant for a larger operation versus a smaller one. But it starts at $50 a month. So you can pay $50 a month and you can get your website, you can get your online store, and then you can get all of those features that Localine has on the back end to help you generate pick lists and pack lists and things like that.
And that front end, I would imagine you've got links to whatever their social media is. So if they've got whatever, Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you've got the links. And then can they load it up with whatever photos or maybe even videos of their operation and maybe have a blog that appears in the on the site?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Sure. All of the above. The folks can get as intensive and exhaustive with their strategy as they'd like. Certainly, we do see most of them linking it up to their social media channels. That's a big part of, you know, how folks shop today. It's going to be a bigger part of how they shop in the future. So we always recommend that. We don't see as many blogs anymore. Blogs are, you know, sure. I don't know, not as cool.
I know podcasts are the new blogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know better than anybody that's the case. But they can certainly do all those things. Yeah.
That's exciting. So, okay, one of the things, you're solving so many problems here, because there are a lot of farmers and gardeners and all sorts of things that are taking place. And the problem that those issues have had is it's like, fine, I know how to grow this. And in some cases, they're growing it in the middle of a city somewhere. But what they do with it, how they are able to market it, because up to now, primarily what there is available to people relatively easily is they could go to farmers markets, they could go to CSAs, and maybe they could make some calls, go knock on a few doors and have a relationship with a restaurant or two. But that's when the need has risen as much as it is, that's hardly adequate. They need to try to get this product offered to a lot broader area. So they create a store with you. And then how do you help them set it up for people to actually order it, pay for it, and arrange for delivery?
So a lot of those variables are at the discretion of the farmer. So as an example, the farmer starts by uploading their products. That's very obviously step one. But a very important part of step two is, okay, do you deliver? If so, where? Right. So let's figure out what your delivery plans are and which customers fit within that and which ones don't. Do you have pickup locations? We've seen a lot of folks recently use empty school parking lots, right? That was less common 6 months ago. Maybe they pick up at the farmer's market. That's an important part, right? Is the customer needs to know when they're purchasing, how do I get this product? Maybe it comes to me, maybe I pick it up, but either way, I need to know what I'm selecting when I go to checkout. And then the last part is there's a few more variables. So the farmer might need, call it 24 hours heads up, what we call order lead time, before an order is placed. So that if someone orders from Rogers Farm at midnight, you're not expect to deliver it at 8 a.m. the next morning, right? So you can bake in some rules like that into the back end of the system so that customers are only able to order in cycles that meet the existing setup that the farmer has. And online payments works the same way. They can customize their payment terms. They can customize their payment options. Do they want to do credit card or e-transfer or cash? We certainly have not seen as much cash because nobody wants to be touching hands. But they can set up all of those different variables for them. And so then when the customer goes to order, the customer just sees like a very easy, very seamless experience of, okay, these are my products. This is when I'm going to pick it up. And, you know, this is how I'm going to pay. Then they click checkout.
Well, Canadian dollars are different than American dollars. So one of the things that's offered, they can choose whether or not they're paying in Canadian versus American.
For sure. Yeah. We had to do that early, make that distinction. You can select the currency.
Do you find that they're mostly credit cards or PayPal or Apple Pay, or what tends to be the most popular way of paying?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's just basically everything in our business has like a pre-COVID story or pre-COVID metrics and post-COVID metrics. Pre-COVID, we were only seeing about a quarter of the time folks were using credit cards to pay right online. Sometimes this is because the farmer may want to avoid the credit card fees. Other times, if a farmer's working with a restaurant, as an example, restaurants tend to not pay with credit cards, right? They tend to be set up in a different way. But now post-COVID, I don't know the specific number, to be totally frank with you, but the last check, it was about half. So at minimum, 50% of the time, we are getting these credit card payments that go through, largely just because for the farmer, they want to reduce as much friction as possible for the customer to place their order, and they want to make the customer feel as safe as possible. As in, you know, this is a credit card. We don't have to physically, you know, exchange any cash or a check. It's a little bit more seamless and a little easier.
So I'm curious, have you seen any trends like how much is retail versus restaurant versus institution versus individuals?
Pre-COVID, we were following this pretty classic 80-20 rule that you see in business, where in our case specifically, about 80% of the volume that was being exchanged or purchased on our system came from wholesale style operations, so restaurants and retailers and you know, hospitals and schools and things like that. 20% was coming from consumers, but the number of those buyers, we call them, was the opposite, right? So it's about 80% of the buyers using Localine were consumers, 20% of them were wholesalers and retailers and the like, which makes sense. They tend to order higher volume products. Obviously, when COVID happened, I mean, the you know, wholesale side went to zero. You know, grocery stores, of course, still needed products. They're essential businesses. And a lot of them actually looked to adapt more local procurement, more local strategies. So we you know, if anything, we saw a bit of a bump there. But I mean, the demand just from the consumer side was astronomical, right? We could have never predicted that, you know, something like that would have happened.
This is so interesting. Are you getting an opinion as to what, when normal happens again, if there's ever a regular normal? Do you think it'll go back to more of the same, or do you feel like you're on a course that's just going to keep on growing?
I don't think it goes back to exactly how it was for a long time, if at all. Which is, of course, my own personal, you know, speculation and just what we see in the system, right? Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, there was a stat, something to the effect of like e-commerce adoption has advanced the equivalent of 10 years in the last 6 months, not just in food and in every industry. So I do think that the expectations of customers are going to change. I do think that online commerce is basically the new commerce. I don't think that people will make much of a distinction, even now in provinces and states where COVID has been, you know, significantly, COVID cases have been significantly reduced. We're still seeing strong growth. It's not the pop of what it was, but it continues. So my expectation is basically just that, you know, it's going to advance e-commerce adoption in the food industry by, you know, some order of magnitude. And hopefully that trend continues for, you know, a long time to come.
Now, my guess is that the large-scale commodity agriculture production would not be utilizing it as much, I would guess. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you're not wrong. It depends, as in, you know, a normal industrial scale, you know, corn or soybean or cash crop, you know, operation, in their normal course of day-to-day business, no, they would not have a real use case for Localine, right? They don't tend to sell to their own, you know, diversity of customers. They don't do local marketing. And they really only, you know, they have one or two crops, right? But what we're starting to see and what really we've seen over the last 18 months, this isn't just a COVID thing, is we're seeing more and more industrial scale farms say, okay, you know what? The markets were tough last year, or I don't want to keep growing this, you know, one or two crops anymore. Let's diversify a bit. And what they're doing is they're carving off 25 acres or 50 acres or what have you. And they're growing peppers, or they're growing, you know, cucumbers, or growing tomatoes, products that they'll actually market locally. And so when they start to do that as a way to diversify their products and diversify their income stream, that tends to be where Localine is helpful. And of course, those folks at that scale tend to be more used to also using systems to run the farm. So the first thing, one of the first things that they tend to do is actually look for applications, you know, that exist to support that kind of an endeavor. So, you know, we do have industrial scale operations using Localine, not for the core business, but, you know, for parts of it when they want to experiment or diversify.
You know, Cole, I just had a podcast conversation not too long ago that was doing exactly that same thing. In fact, it's fairly close to you, just across the border into Michigan, mm-hmm. where they had been strictly monoculture, sort of soybeans and corn production, and they decided to start adding some unique ancient grains. And so they had been totally geared towards a commodity production, but as they diversified and got into these niches that they were able to, that e-commerce really was their way forward to be able to create it online. And it's just exactly what you're saying, to kind of pivot from traditional agriculture and get more diversified, and you give them that opportunity.
Yeah, I do think you're going to see more of that, right? I mean, I think that local food, you know, to be a successful local farmer, a direct market farmer in the past has been a little bit of a black box. It's sometimes difficult to quantify. How profitable is it really? How predictable is it really? How much does it take to set up? How long does it take? How entrenched can you really become as part of these communities? How fickle are customers? But collectively, as an industry, we are reaching a point where you can show some real numbers. You can show that, you know, this can work. This is a good business strategy. And so my prediction is that at some level, you will continue to see larger operations start to think about, to the point of your friend there, how might we diversify and adopt a local strategy to complement what we've already been doing on the monoculture side.
How about microbreweries? I see them experimenting with so many different grains and unique hops, but barleys and all sorts of stuff that all over North America, there are all these little microbreweries, and they're doing really interesting things and trying to come up with relationships of sourcing grains to brew these beers. That seems like that's a whole new market, because there wasn't any sort of a big commodity market for those things.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, the microbrewery industry has certainly exploded, right? Like it feels like every beer fanatic these days has opened up their own microbrewery, or at least has their own brand. And we're pretty clear for our business that we want to help the seller sell and market their products better. We don't help on the sourcing side. If you're a microbrewery, you could certainly come to Localine to create an online store to sell your products, to sell your beer. We probably wouldn't be as useful for you from a sourcing perspective to actually like source all those things. It's a fantastic idea, and certainly we have a lot of growers, you know, in our database that we would like to create access for. So probably some sort of a future undertaking for us.
As you've grown and you've got thousands of people that are using it right now, how have you got so much exposure? What have you done to be able to get in front of so many people? How are you promoting yourself?
I think just build a good product for the most part and just be good to your customers. We have been really lucky. We've grown through referrals a lot. As you know, farming is a tight-knit community. You know, they all talk to one another. And so our strategy from the beginning was wanting to have the farmer think of us almost like the friendly neighbor, somebody that they can call on. I never wanted them to feel like they were just buying software. We always wanted them to feel like they had a partner that could help them navigate bringing the business online and all of the, you know, aspects and variables involved in that. So yeah, I think at some level it's my team. I think at some level it's customer service. It's what we're known for. We take it extremely seriously. And it's just listening to customers and building a good product. We've been able to get that feedback from customers for 4 years and just make it better every day. And for sure, still a long way to go. But I do think we were lucky to, you know, build a good product and, you know, actually really just deeply fundamentally care about the success of our customers, right? Of these farmers that choose to work with us. And that makes it pretty, you know, easy, and you know, hopefully they tell their friends, and so far that's worked, you know, great for us.
Well, it's a really interesting space that you're in. I think it's an extremely important space where a lot's happening. So how do people find out about you?
Yeah, best thing is just to head to our website. If you're in Canada, it's localine.ca. If you're in the States, it's localine.us. We have a ton of materials there. We've got a ton of free ebooks and content and calculators. We do have a free trial on our system if anybody's interested to poke around and see if it feels right for their farm. But I would start with our website.
Yeah. Well, I went on your website and I went on localine.ca this morning from California. I think that works fine. To wrap up, Cole, down the road, the next 4 or 5 years, what gives you the most enthusiasm or, say, excitement about the future?
I'm really excited about all of the overall momentum that we have in our industry. And what I mean by that is that if you're really going to increase the accessibility of local food, it's going to take many, many companies and many, many people, not just one player. And I think now it's so exciting because we've all had this big uplift from COVID, and we all understand the importance of coming together to make local food a mainstream part of how people choose to procure food, how they choose to eat. I think that's extremely exciting, right? So I think the path to connecting many, many more farms for us is fairly clear. And we just want to help as many of them as we can.
Well, it is exciting. I keep saying that. But there was a time where we thought, boy, we're going to end up with 3 supermarkets in the whole country and 3 or 4 restaurant chains. We already know we only have a couple of major processors. And instead, just when we thought that was the only way forward, we already now have thousands and thousands more that are able to offer directly to consumers and directly market into these various channels. A lot of people didn't see that coming. Congratulations to you guys. You're on the front edge of it. I want to thank you for taking the time to walk us through that and wish you the best with Localine. And I think it's going to continue to be a great opportunity. So thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
I appreciate very much you having me.
Farm to Table Talk is supported by Larda Institute's Ag Innovation Showcase. With the pandemic upending supply chains, the economic health and well-being of farms and farmers, and the continued assault on food and agriculture, we need to move rapidly towards regenerative agriculture. Solutions are within our grasp when all stakeholders are unbridled by notions of what is possible and committed to what is necessary. To find energized ideas for the future of food and farming, go to agshowcase.com. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk.